was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here. Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 494. Hopefully we're coming in louder and clearer.
Louder and clearer.
Well, we had two podcasts that were super quiet, and I couldn't make them any louder. But then I played around with stuff on the device, and hopefully now it's louder. Okay. People aren't straining to hear it, because I know I dislike when I have to do that. You know, I'm in the car, and I have everything cranked all the way up and can barely hear. So
I don't know how people are waiting with bated breath to hear what we have to
say. Oh, and they are. They are. I was actually looking at equipment and stuff, and I'm like, this just looks really crappy. Although I did like some of them had little buttons for like sound effects and laughter and stuff.
Yeah.
That was very tempting. But I said, hey, you know, as long as this is still working, it's gotten us through, what, how many years? 10 years or something?
We need those prices right.
Yeah. Oh, it had
Yeah.
But
and the guy that climbed the mountain climber?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, Pat. So, I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Spencer,
Pat,
Dave.
And we got two dogs, but probably will be asleep shortly. Rex is really coming into his own here. Enjoying things. I enjoy when somebody's petting him and all of a sudden he just lays down on his side, like, pet my belly. So,
well,
you know, you do that too. Or yeah. Tim's done it once or twice.
Pet my belly? No, Tim's never pet my belly.
No, Tim's laid down
asking
a customer to. But, so, I can't really think of any news, anything exciting, anything fun, other than, well, no, there's a couple things.
DC announced DC, Dark Crisis.
Although it's not going to be dark, is what Josh Williamson said. It's going to be more a celebration of, like, the history of DC, and it's all about relationships. So, which is interesting. I guess that's what Didio wanted to call metal, but Snyder and Capullo were set on it being metal. So they didn't do that. I didn't make any other notes. I couldn't find any good books for February. I was kind of putzing around. And February 1980 was pretty good, but I just did January 1980, so I was looking for a different month, and then I kind of lost steam and forgot to continue looking. So this will not be a weekly thing, because that requires far more organization than I present. But I did read a boatload of books, so we'll talk about those.
Did you guys see the people think that Joelle Jones traced her the Wonder Woman cover with from an X-Men cover?
Okay, no, I did not see that.
Yeah, because the Wonder Woman and the Cassidy Wonder Girl are like in like the exact same position as. I think it's like Rogue and Marvel Girl on a newer issue of X-Men, like the way that they're flying and kind of, but yeah.
Okay.
I'd say that's like the only kind of like newsy thing that I saw.
Okay, sorry, I got a question. And now I'm having trouble finding it. Just one thing. There it is.
Says it from FT.
No, it was... Yeah. Ah, okay. It was posted as a comment on my weekly... The Marley and Rex video.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I know I saw this question. Where is it? So there it is. Okay, so it's from Dan. He's got a two-part question. What is more important to you when selecting a comic? The art or the story? And then the second part of that is, what are some new artists and writers that you are enjoying? For me, it's always the story, in the sense of I'll check, like when I'm reading the solicits, something sounds good or interesting, and that'll get me to, so maybe not so much the writer per se, as in, but just the plot, the subject. will get me. There's really very few writers or artists that I would go, I don't want to say, not out of my way, that's not right, but where I'm like, oh,
for an artist.
Yeah, I don't think we're there. We're not that like where it was in the 90s. I don't think we're there. There's artists I think are great. I don't know if I'd get it just because of them. And I think people are like that too, like Echolands, the J.H. Williams, who's an amazing artist, isn't selling at all.
It's funny because, like, I won't buy a book because of an artist, but the art will make me not buy a book.
Right.
Like, the Batgirl's book,
yeah.
When I saw the art for that, I was like, it's just for me. Which I, you know, I guess that's a shame because it might be a
book,
really
though.
Good book, but the art just turned me off.
For me to buy a book for the art, it'd have to be like somebody who hasn't been around in a while, like if John Byrne came back and...
Right, like I would read anything Sienkiewicz did.
I'd read anything, no matter who the writer is.
Yeah.
Or if he wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, whenever I first started to get into it, there was, I think, like... Oh, there was, like, some artists... And I don't even think I would have known them by, like, really by name or anything by them, but there was, like, so, like... It was kind of like, oh, this looks cool. And then after, like, that, then I kind of started it would get turned to the writers and, like, that, like and started to, you know, follow anybody,
oh,
follow
yeah.
them.
It was definitely me starting out, too, with the art first, yeah.
But then it's also, it's like, now, though, it's, like, good story and then having, like, that good artist or whatever. That's just, it's, like, a nice added bonus to, you know,
right.
to it.
But I think they're definitely writers, like Mark Russell. I'll try anything he writes,
yeah.
right.
Sure.
regardless of who the artist is. But I don't know if there's a single artist out there where I go, oh, okay, well, I'll give it a shot.
And like that's the thing, too. Like, how many, like, and the other part of the question was, like, any newer, like writer and artist? I don't know if I could tell you any, like, new artists, really. Like, you know, just the way that it is and the way that they do such, like, a turnover on them and stuff like that, it's hard to keep, you know, them straight. I could probably do, like, newer writers, but, like, the artists, I couldn't, like, half the time, like, especially, like, on, like, an X-Men book, I couldn't tell you who the artist is on an X-Men book. It looks good most of the time, but I couldn't tell you who the guy is.
Well, I can't even tell you if they're new, because, like, Greg Smallwood... I thought he had been around for a long time.
Yeah.
The first thing he did was that Moon Knight book.
Yeah.
That's one, if he had a new book, I would definitely give it a look, no matter who the writer is.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, but like I'm a big Mike Allred fan, but I didn't even finish that Bug series. I read a couple issues of it. So,
okay.
Yeah, so that's not the be-all and end-all. This Jim Lee guy is good.
Yeah, I heard him once or twice.
Yeah.
Might read some of the stuff.
Okay, then we did have a question. There we go. Zach asks, was Bendis ever actually good, or did he just have everyone fooled for a while? Because his DC output, including the latest Justice League book, might be some of the worst comics I've ever read by him, probably on par with that atrocious last issue of Iron Man. I've never been a big Bendis fan. I enjoyed Powers, but I never finished it. Like the New Avengers was okay at the beginning. I remember I read the first trade of Ultimate Spider-Man and went, Stan and Steve did this in like 10 pages of an issue of Amazing Fantasy, and he got paid for 6 issues. And that's when I realized, the plan was to, stretch out stories and stuff. I read his Daredevil stuff. It was good, but I didn't love the way he did it. He didn't, he's the big fan of nonlinear storytelling and start with issue 4, then go back to issue 2, then issue 3, then issue 1, then issue 5, just to keep the story all over the place. Which was interesting the first time, and then it got old. I think Marvel really wasn't sad to see him go. He'd kind of done all the books there. He'd done Spider-Man with Ultimate. He'd done Iron Man. He'd done
Avengers. He'd done X-Men. So yeah, when he suddenly appeared at DC, I don't think, you know, the Marvel was all that sad to see him go. I read the Superman stuff for a bit. I read the Justice League stuff for a bit, but not the biggest fan. So I really didn't stick with it. And sales have kind of showed as well that it hasn't really taken off.
Again, like whenever I was first getting into comics, he was like, you know, he was like the one of like the big guys, and like the Ultimate Spider-Man, like that was one of the first things I started getting. Like I really like that, and same with like the new Avengers and stuff. So like, and like House of X, House of M,
yeah.
That I thought that was a pretty good like you know, event series and stuff. So like, there's some stuff that I do like of his. That I do feel like though, like Colin was saying, that I think he either needs like an editor that would put their foot down. It's like, you don't need 2 Iron Man books, so you know, like, you know what I mean. You don't need 2 X-Men books, like the like whenever the X-Men, like I like the concept of like that, bringing like the young X-Men, you know, from the past, like that's a cool thing. But then it just went on for like way too long and didn't really have an ending. You know, it was like 2 creators after you that had to like tie up that, you know, and stuff like that. So I think whenever he can keep his stuff like the Batman universe, that was just to contain like 6-part like miniseries or whatever, and like that was really good. So yeah, I just think he has a problem of one of his like creator owned DC books, the with the artist was like a spy. I can't think of, but that was a good series too. So I just think he tries to write too much, like, you know what I mean, for like a lot of his like mainstream stuff. Like, you know, you don't need double titles to tell, you know, or you shouldn't really.
I think part of it with him too, at least to me, is a lot of his characters sound the same.
Yeah.
The way he just has such a rhythm in the way he writes.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, you can kind of tell. Like if you don't put his names in the credit, you, a lot of time, if you could probably tell that it's him from, like he was saying, because he has a certain way, or like there's a lot of talking, or, you know, big conversations.
And sometimes it becomes a parody of itself when the balloons are going back and forth, you know,
yeah,
on one page, and there's like a million word balloons. But I was into his Avengers stuff. I really got into Avengers Disassembled and all,
yeah,
that stuff. I was really glued.
Mm-hmm. To those, but like, pages. I said, like those, especially like those first like 50 or so issues of Ultimate Spider-Man were.
Yeah, he got a lot of acclaim for that.
I mean, he did. You know, he created Miles. I mean,
yeah, he created Miles. So yeah,
I think he's done some good stuff. It's just recently he has may not been firing on all cylinders, but
yeah, I don't know if he's a better fit for the Marvel characters, maybe, than DC, for whatever reason. Who knows?
Well, also, DC's going through its own mess of,
yeah,
Turner. I'm sure he probably, like, you know what I mean, that probably didn't help either. Like, you know, I'm sure he was probably getting his stories messed with and stuff, probably, so.
No, I disagree there, because when he took over Superman, Think about what Superman was like right before he got on it. It was really good. They were able to tell the stories they wanted to tell.
Yeah.
And then he came on and mucked it all up.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it was editor interference as much as it was just he wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he didn't have the editor going.
Nah.
Maybe dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all the questions we have. So, who wants to start? I'll be finishing.
Yeah, I was saying, Colin has all the books, so it doesn't matter.
I can start then.
Go ahead, Dave.
Fantastic Four, The Reckoning.
I read that.
Yeah, I read that, Dave.
this is the big, I don't know, big event.
Dan Since Slott, his first issue of She-Hulk or yeah, something, he's been that. Building up towards yeah. to this. Which was, I had a couple eye roll moments, but okay.
Who is this?
Dan Slott wrote it, and he prefaced it in an issue of She-Hulk back that he was writing years and years ago.
Like early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. It's been building for, since then. The Reckoning War. The First War.
He's been building it, and by yes. building it, we mean not building it?
Well, leading up to it.
Well, I mean, like, I read a Spider-Man run, and was that all building up to it? I didn't read.
We'll find out.
I didn't read his Doctor Who. I mean, Silver Surfer, but
we'll find out.
Okay.
But he first mentioned it in a She-Hulk issue.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so the moon is destroyed.
That's not going to have any effect on Earth.
And yeah, they were very nonchalant.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, a whole bunch of planets don't have moons. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. And there's also planets that have like 8 moons.
Yeah, it'll be fine. We'll make a new one.
Just borrow one of Jupiter's. It's not
exactly.
A big deal.
Okay.
Well, to be fair, though, Franklin can just create whole universes.
No,
so.
He doesn't have his powers anymore.
Ah, okay.
So the moon is destroyed by the Badoon.
Was that how you pronounced it? I wasn't
I was saying Badoon in my head. They have watch technology from the Watchers. So, the moon's destroyed. Heroes in New York City, all the meteorites are falling, and the Badoon are invading. So, you have Spider-Man, the Avengers, New Warriors, you know, saving people. And the Fantastic Four, they fly up out to space to see what's going on. And they pick up Nick Fury.
The Unseen.
Also known as the Unseen.
Right. And it, Nick Fury, because the Watcher's back, I didn't know this until I read the text piece, that he regrew from the eye in Nick Fury's head.
That was at the end of the Fantastic Four
what?
Issue.
Yes.
What the bullshit
That's
is
what
this?
I said.
They show Uatu come out of his eyeball.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not realize that eyeballs had Watcher growing.
Yeah. And why is Nick Fury bald? It really bothered me.
I guess if you're a herald of the
Watchers, you can not allowed to have hair.
You're not allowed to have hair, so.
He's really old too.
He's like really super old.
Yeah,
right?
He used to take the Infinity formula.
Yeah,
but it just struck me as really odd that he just bald and just looking at him, I'm just like, okay, one more step to make him Sam Jackson. You know, it's just, there was no reason for him being bald.
That maybe the artist got confused and he thought he was drawing that Nick Fury and it got two passes. And it's like, oh, well, I can't change it now.
Yeah, I just found that really weird, but okay.
So the story is, long ago, when the universe, the multiverse was young, the Watchers gave this technology to this planet.
Yeah, it's sort of it was already like kind of like an advanced planet, right?
Yeah. And then they used it to plunder all these other planets. So I don't know if this is a retcon, but that's when the Watchers decided we're not going to interfere.
Yeah.
In order to stop them,
but if the Reckoning. They're called the Reckoning.
Right, but they stop them and then put up a source wall. To keep them on the other side. Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't a source wall. It was some other wall. I'm like, how do you wall off part of the galaxy?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm just... That was a red flag there. And they're all dead. Oh, except they're not. And they're coming. My problem with it was it's yet another unknown alien civilization coming to destroy Earth.
Yeah.
We just had that in Empire. And now we're having it again. It was just like, okay.
There's a part with the Silver Surfer, too. He says eternity is dying.
Yeah.
Because all these people, all these planets have this technology, and there's all these wars going on. So.
Yeah.
They got to stop. They got to save eternity.
Oh, and then the people from the TVA, from the Loki show, show up. And She-Hulk can see them because...
Oh, the thing that happened over 20 years
ago.
Yeah.
And she knows them
from work. And
from work.
And it just, it was just, when they showed up, I was just like, oh.
But only she could see them.
Right. Nobody else could see them. And Jack of Hearts played a big part. I'm like, oh, yeah, I haven't thought of Jack of Hearts in 30-plus years. Well, and all of a sudden he shows up in the She-Hulk mini. Now he's in this. Do they have a relationship that I don't know about? Last I saw, she was dating Thor.
I don't know how he came back. He was destroyed all those years ago.
Yeah.
Well, he regrew out of Nick Fury Jr.'s eye. So that's how that he came back.
He grew out of a playing card. But
just for me, just a lot of it was just, oh, it's another end of the world with this people we've never heard of before. And it just...
Do you feel fine?
Yes. But it's just, well, they blew up the moon. Okay. Well, that would probably end most of life on Earth right there. But okay.
Oh, most definitely. I mean,
he just blows it off.
It was just probably because he seemed...
Oh, but then the end. Where Nick Fury looked into the Orb of Might or whatever it was of the Watcher, and now he has all knowledge.
Oh, that was Reed.
Reed.
You probably thought because he had the, you know, you used to play with
you're
the...
Right. Yeah, you're right, he had hair. I should have known it wasn't Nick Fury. Okay, I'm sorry. I was just... I'll read the fantastic... I'll keep going with it, but I was just... A lot of it was just...
Yeah. Well,
yay, yet another... You know.
Is it a miniseries or...
No, I think it's just running through the Fantastic Four. But, okay. I think there's like one more and like the Watcher trial or something, like another like one shot at the end, I think,
okay.
You know.
Oh, right, okay. Okay, got to talk about crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really
good. Number 11. I kind of want to go like straight to the end.
So I do have a problem with it because of that, but we'll...
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let me just start by saying it starts with Pendleton interrogating Donny Cates, writer Donny Cates, and we find out
at the very beginning of like when the dome and all that stuff.
Yeah, he was the first one to come out of the dome, and he was carrying an outline
for
the series crossover. And he says it was only supposed to be a love story.
Yeah, something small.
Something small, but it got too big. And I put it down and I decided to write Thanos instead.
And Jeff Shaw couldn't put it down.
And he never wrote an ending to it. So Pendleton tells him, you're going to write an ending.
So he went all Annie Wilkes.
And then, just get to the part at the end here. Christian Walker and Dina Pilgrim from Powers, they're with the Reverend Lowe. They have him handcuffed, and he knows who the comic book writer killer is. And he's going to take them to them.
Yeah.
So they, this is a big spoiler, so if you didn't read this, skip ahead a couple minutes. But, so they go to this like little league ball field, and it's dark, and then the lights come on, and who is standing at home plate?
With his bat.
With his bat. Negan. And there was like a mic drop right there.
Man.
And I forget what he says. I forgot what he
You can't repeat it because it's Negan.
This is a
PG-13 podcast.
We can't repeat that.
Yeah, because there was like 4 F-bombs in there. So what didn't you like about that, Colin?
Okay, hang on one second. Because I want to check something real quick before I say anything.
Okay, because I like the inclusion of Negan.
Oh, that was...
Although he was not drawn correctly.
Mm-hmm.
He's stockier, or he was stockier in The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Where
okay.
they kind of had him more tall and thin.
Kind of like the TV, like, because that's how... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, more like Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, he's a taller guy.
So they didn't tell us this was happening. This book spec'd out. All the speculators came in to buy it. Thus, we sold out. But because Image has their no reprint policy now, that we can't get more 11s. So I'm like, that's great.
No, you can't.
Here's my problem. I sold 10 off the shelf to people who will never be back for number 12. Mm. So I will now cut my orders by 10 copies on crossover. So how does that help Image?
Why do they have the no reprint policy?
Because they can't get enough paper, yet at the same time they can print 400,000 copies of King Spawn, because the 1 in 250 one with the signature by Todd McFarlane variant is selling for $1,000, so stores are ordering 10,000 copies to get lots of that. So they're real proud that they're printing 400,000 copies of Spawn, yet they don't have paper to do a second print of crossover. So I find those two things,
those two statements, do not
mutually they don't go together.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
That makes sense.
You can't say, hey, I just blew all my money. Were there no extras, Tim? Awesome. They can't say I blew all my money on weed and then say, oh, sorry, kids, you can't eat. You don't get to, rejoice in one, and celebrate that. So I just find it a little, I don't give them a lot of benefit of the doubt at this point.
Okay.
We're having some other problems with them where FOC was Monday on the new issue of Spawn, and yesterday Todd McFarlane revealed the cover of Spawn. Because we didn't have it Monday when we were ordering it. So we were ordering blind, just it's the McFarlane cover. Oh, but it's that, it's that Haunt character in the Spider-Man pose. It's like, oh yeah, well, more people are going to want this. Whereas the McFarlane cover for Scorch today was like 9-panel wanted poster or something that not exciting or interesting in the least. It didn't scream McFarlane. So it's like, you ask us to order blind, and then when we say, hey, had we known what it looked like, we would have ordered more.
Yeah.
You take offense. Well, you should have ordered more anyway. Not really how it works, kids. You seem to have a little problem with your offering variant covers that you can't actually show us. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So... and then there was a thread on one of the retailer boards, and retailers weren't kind. In them, they were not forgiving, and Image took great offense. And I was just like, okay.
Well, you can't get butthurt when it's your policy.
Well, right, and the 400,000 copies ordered of King Spawn number one aren't real numbers.
Yeah.
Right, you're not going to sell 400,000 copies.
Are you going to do a press release on what the orders for number two were? I'd love to see those numbers, because I'm guessing it's probably closer to 25, but what do I know? That's my only problem. Nothing wrong with the issue, but just the fact of you have this great thing that all of a sudden everybody wants this issue because of that. And you can't just say, oh, Walking Dead characters, you should have known, because the solicit did reference the Kirkman estate. It was redacted. But that Skybound X sold for crap. And it sold for crap for everybody. And that was a new Rick story. Nobody cared.
Mm-mm.
So even if I knew this was a Walking Dead character, I doubt I would have ordered up. It just happened to be that was the one that everybody wanted.
Yeah.
So that's just the frustrating thing is now you have a set number. I don't know. Okay. Next,
One Star Squadron.
I read that.
Number three.
Big twist in that one.
Yeah, big twist at the end too. This one starts with Superman visiting the board of directors for Heroes for You and expressing his displeasure with how they're with the business. Which comes to a head when we get there's a sequence with Jack-O-Lantern flying over the Atlantic Ocean near Ireland, somewhere in Ireland. And there's a bunch of people drowning, but instead of saving them,
he gets a call to do a birthday party. Money's money.
Yeah, to App. And then Superman pays, he hears about this and pays another visit and says the Hall of Justice is withdrawing their endorsement for the company. And let's see, so then we get to the Red Tornado part.
Where he's assuming he's going to be fired. He remembers when he took over from Manhunter.
Manhunter, yeah.
Because Manhunter got called to corporate and then came back and he ended up being put in charge. So yeah, he got a call from corporate to go see him. He's like, oh boy, here it comes.
So he like tells his wife he's going to be fired. So he goes in and they are ecstatic that everybody hates them. Because they want him to fire
half the staff. Because and they can't get mad because they all hate him,
including Power
Girl. And he has to start with Power Girl. Yes, who's been making the big power play to take over? Yeah,
it's such a weird mix of like sadness and satire.
Yeah. And we got the gangbuster from the beginning return finally.
Yeah,
he wasn't in issue two.
Oh, right. But, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
This
Russell guy, I like him. And I think it's his birthday today. I think I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel it was appropriate to wish him a happy, you know. Facebook's more of a fan page, I'm not sure.
Yeah, right, oh yeah. And I'll lastly, I'll mention New Burn, number 3. Anybody read
didn't
this?
Get to it. It's next in, this, next in
Mike,
the pile.
I know Mike's reading that one, but.
Who?
Mike.
Who? Oh, the guy was too busy to show up?
Yeah.
Whatever.
This was good. This is this starts with New Burn and his partner, Emily. They're investigating a string of homicides, like 27 homicides among all the crime families in New York City. And they get called to the Black Castle, this building on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and it is a neutral ground for all the families. And they tell him, you got to solve this. We're going to give you a week to solve this. And two of the families, the Russians and the Yakuza, offer to help him, but he doesn't want any help. And then, so New Burn and Emily, they're trying to figure it out. And they get a call that there's another body. So instead of going to the crime scene, he just wants to go to the coroner to see the body. And Emily finds out that there's a tooth missing, a wisdom tooth missing from the back. So it seems in that, and they check the other bodies, and that seems to be the calling card. And it seems they have a serial killer on their hands. I won't give away the ending since you wrote it, but it's really good. It was really good. These all seem to be like one and done mystery stories, and with a through line of of Emily, wondering what's going to happen to her now that she's involved with New Burn. I mean, she's making all these allusions to her death somewhere down the line. It was really good.
Cool.
That's all I got, Pat.
Primos, number 1.
I read that.
It was interesting.
It was. My only problem with it, I just felt there wasn't enough there. It was an interesting setup, but it was a little thin.
Yeah, the first part was kind of cool where they were fighting the sumo guys and all that.
Right.
And then, you're right, it kind of just... I need about 2 more pages.
Yeah.
But the setup is there's a kid who is the descendant of, like, some Mayan shaman. Bye, Tim.
See you, Tim.
Or, bye, Tim.
High chief or whatever. And him and his 2 cousins, hence the name Primos, are basically fighting to enlighten the world. And so he hears the story of his family, where I guess... this shaman that comes to tell him you're part of this, and his brother had gone off to another planet to learn a secret, and it turns out there's like Mayans on planets all throughout the galaxy, and they're being told some great truth that they have to come back and enlighten people with, and when they do that, that will keep everybody protected. But his brother gets drunk and is kind of an arrogant dick and doesn't calculate the way back correctly, and by the time they get back, the Mayan civilization has already collapsed.
And the brother's all pissed off about that and vows to destroy
everybody.
Everybody. And the whole plan, yeah, the whole plan was that all the civilizations will join together and it'll defeat the great evil.
Mm-hmm.
But they get back and their civilization is gone.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing all the sumo wrestlers are the brothers guys. It's like there was just, you had to make some assumptions. They didn't explain who the other two people were from the beginning. You get the idea of who they're going to be, but yeah. It was just a little thin.
I was wondering how that one was. That's that was written by Al Madrigal.
Yes.
Right? I think so, yeah.
He's the
yeah.
comedian. He used to be on The Daily Show.
Okay. Yeah, it was pretty good. It's an AWA book, so, you know, just I give all their books a shot. And I enjoyed it. Sure. I don't disagree. It was a little thin, but it there was enough there. I'm looking forward to reading the next one to see where it's at.
Yeah.
Batman 120.
I read that.
So.
Better.
Yes. Batman is still blind. And he's
working with the local cop.
I forget who
she takes him like back to her apartment so he can try to figure out what's wrong with his eyes.
But he turns the lights off so no one
nobody can see him in there.
Which I don't know how he'd then be able to figure out what's wrong with his eyes, but whatever.
Yeah, no.
But there's kind of a missing point there, but.
Well, then later he's taking on Luther, who has a special suit that he made to take on...
No, Abyss shows
Abyss.
Up.
Abyss. Yep.
Abyss fought Luther.
Right. But then when Luther shows up to Batman, he can see Luther. So there's something really weird. It's like his eyes weren't just black.
But I thought the lady was telling him what was going on. I thought she was looking through...
But he could see... When Luther showed up, he said, "Why can I see you?"
Yeah.
So... So that was interesting. But he was making a big plan to get Batman Inc. out of prison since he knows they were wrongly convicted because Abyss isn't dead.
And we find out Abyss is now their leader.
Yes. And he's actually... And so now Batman and they're all being bankrolled by Luther. Yeah.
So...
Mr. Luthor. And I did not read the backup story.
No, neither did I.
I skimmed through it. I like the art in it. I get like a cool kind of like cartoony, like a Sunday kind of cartoony look to it, but like the story I had no.
And the last one I read was Seven Secrets, which came out a couple weeks ago, but was damaged.
Right,
we just got it.
Right, and then we got a new one this week. Yeah.
So the only big thing about it is we saw that Caspar. Has his head cut off. He does die.
Is that the guy with the mask, or is that the kid?
No, that's the kid.
Okay.
Eva's kid. We also found out how the woman became Queen of England.
It's one of them when I'm not farting. It's one of them.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there was a lot in...
Okay.
It feels like it's more... It's setting up what's about to happen.
Yeah.
But, what, this week was issue 14?
Yeah.
So was it only going to 15?
I don't know.
Yeah, so that's what I read.
Okay, don't hold back, Spencer, because...
Okay.
I have 17 more. People will get tired of hearing my voice.
Dark Knight, number 4.
That was outstanding.
Or Dark Knight of Steel, number 4.
This was Batman's origin.
Yeah, so Alfred is pretty much telling, Bruce about how, when Superman's parents first, you know, landed here, they were pretty much just kind of like hiding out, like in the woods, just, you know,
not interfering.
Yeah, not interfering.
Not even being known. Yeah, they were hiding.
And then they were able to like hear like a volcano or some kind of like something's gonna erupt, and like it's enough to like, you know, wipe out the kingdom and stuff like that. So they have like a, not an argument, but they try to figure out if they should do anything. So they fight, they decide like they will write like plans and how to like dig ditches, you know, like moat kind of ditches and stuff like that to like, you know, save them. And, Luther is the, is like the person in charge that they give the thing to, and he just burns it up. And then like, the next day,
he was like their advisor. So yeah. They gave it to him. And he just burned the plans.
And then so it's like the next day or the day after that that it goes off, but they're leaving, so they have to try to save him.
They show up to see, yeah, they leave their child, Cal,
with
them while they flew around, you know, making the moats and saving everything.
So,
and that bonded the two.
Yeah.
Couples.
And then so they kick Luther out of the kingdom, and he comes across like some kryptonite.
Was it kryptonite or was it a ring?
See, I took it
that it was a Green Lantern ring.
See, because later on you see him, he has like a ring.
He has the ring, but the thing blasted him when he found it, so he also has the Joker smile.
Yeah, so he's like this weird hybrid of the two.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
With a ring or...
Yeah, well, because he has the ring, so that's my only guess is that there was a ring
maybe
somewhere. But so he's the man in green from the beginning who's
causing all the trouble.
Right.
And then it just kind of, you know, then it goes into, like, how, Thomas ended, or how Superman's dad and had an affair with Martha Wayne.
Because Thomas couldn't sire children.
Yeah. And, like, they thought that it was going to be, you know, this big thing, but then once they saw how Bruce and Clark got along and stuff, it kind of like really mended both families and kind of brought them closer together. And it was just, you know, like a secret they just kept from the kids and stuff like that. But yeah, just like a nice little. Yeah.
Well, then Luther attacked. They were traveling and he attacked. He was attacking. Trying to take out Jor-El. Yeah. And it hit the other one, and so that killed
the
Thomas
Waynes.
And Martha.
Yeah.
And Martha said before she died, and
whatever Superman's mom's
Martha
name.
Martha and Alfred.
Yeah,
she said to them, you know, we want you to lead until Bruce is ready, and then basically Bruce goes, you know, he being a. Bastard, he won't ever be able to lead, so that's why the Jor-Els are the L's. But it was really, really good. This has been a really good Elseworld story. Really neat.
Anytime I'm worried, because like it's like a 12 parter, you just have to get worried, like, ooh, like how much can they do, but like he's able to
each issue is able to
like bring something new and different to it. So
yeah.
Detective Comics.
I have a big stack of them to read. I just didn't.
Yeah, I'm behind, but go ahead.
Well, basically, because, like, last issue was, like, the big reveal was that, the guy who's in charge, of the new Arkham Tower is, like, friends with, Psycho Pirate. They were, like, friends when they were, like, younger. And then, so that's basically kind of what this issue is showing how he used, like, Psycho Pirate to, like, keep all the inmates calm and docile long enough for him to get the money from the mayor, because this is kind of, like, one large kind of, like, con thing. They're going to try to, like, get the money and then run off with all, you know, all the research money. But, you know, with handling that many patients and stuff, he can't handle it, and it starts, you know, the ice starts to break and stuff like that. So that's kind of like just what the issue is just the behind the scenes with Psycho Pirate and stuff like that. And then the backup story with the kid is after everything that has been going on with Scarecrow, the kid ends up getting adopted by the Penguin and is like showing him how to, like, you know, took him to the Iceberg Club, gave him some money so he could go out and get something to eat until he had to come back later to work his shift and stuff like that. So it seems like this kid's just slowly working his way through, like, all of the Batman's, like, rogue gallery. So I'm interested to see what they, you know, do with him by the end of the, you know, by the end of this story. Did anybody read the Geiger 80 page pager one, like, special thing?
I didn't get it.
It's coming next week.
I know.
No. I was at that. I like most of it. Like, the first couple stories are pretty much, like, the main thing of it. Like, because those are the stories written by Jeff Johns. And, like, the other stories, they're okay. But they're just kind of, like, just dealing with more, like, kind of weird characters that we haven't even seen yet. But, you know, you get stuff like you get to find out how he found the two-headed dog and stuff like that, and different things. But, like I said, the first half of it was pretty good. The second half I probably could have done without. But then we do get, like, a preview of this new, like, not G.I. Joe, but, like, a G.I. Joe kind of character. He's, like partly robot. And then, Amazing Spider-Man.
Goblin Queen.
The introduction of Goblin Queen. Ben Reilly's girlfriend, who is, I think her name is, like, Maxie or something like that, because she escaped, previous issues, and she found, Mary Jane is asking her for help. So Mary Jane introduces her to, you know, somebody from the Bugle, and is telling the story, and, so they're, like, in her office, and, she goes to leave to try to go to tell the, you know, the higher up in the thing, so, you know, to see what they want to do with the story. And while that's going on, that's whenever Beyond sends out the Goblin Queen, to find and destroy the hard drive device that has all their, you know, their secrets and stuff on it. And then, they also wake Spider-Man up and send him off because they reveal, because, you know, like, Beyond's working in, like, in the superhero division, and the way to really make that work is that they also have to deal with making, like, supervillains like this Goblin Queen character. But Ben is really, you can tell, like, he is not fully, like, who he normally is from having, like, them messing with his memories and stuff. Like, his personality is starting to change. He's not as friendly or talking to people. Or, like, whenever after he, you know, he finds the Goblin Queen and, you know, and fights her a little bit. But the hard drive ends up getting destroyed. Ben goes to, you know, grab his girlfriend and getting ready to leave. Mary Jane's like, well, I think she, you know, she's getting ready to get back up. And he's like, I don't see where that's, our problem. And, you know, goes and webs away. And that's kind of like where the issue is ending, is like Mary Jane in this room with, like, the Goblin Queen getting ready to, you know, rise back up to her feet and, you know, trying to see, you know, what's going to happen to MJ and stuff. I mean, obviously, she makes it because it seems like, you know, they're going to break up again and, you know, in the beginning of the next run. But, yeah, I'm interested to see how they do, what they do with Ben by the end of this series. Like, if they're gonna take him out again, or if they're gonna try somehow to
fix his own book. No.
Well, yeah, set in the past. And then, Dave, did you read Fantastic Four Life Story?
Yeah.
So this is the last issue of that series, and
they're all old fogies.
Yes, except Ben, because Ben doesn't really age, being a rock guy.
This is the 2010s.
The early 2000s. So like, because Reed is after using that machine to stop Galactus, he's pretty much not brain dead, because we eventually go into his mind and it's very active, but he's not able to communicate or say or do anything, when he's just kind of like in his chair. And we find out that after the whole Galactic stuff, that Earth just goes back to the way it was before, because previously everybody was kind of like happy and being cheerful because they was kind of like on a countdown clock, like, oh, you only had like 3 or 4 years left to live, so people were actually kind of being kind and generous to people. So afterwards, they just kind of go back to fighting again, since there's no external threat, and Dr. Doom is like, he's been slowly like conquering like other small like villages and making like Doom bots out of vibranium and stuff like that. And all the young heroes like Miles and a lot of the characters from like the
Captain
like,
Marvel.
Yeah, like Speed's like Speedball, like a lot of people from like the Warriors and like the Champions, like those kind of characters are trying to fight and stop them, but, they need help. And Sue goes to see Steve Rogers and tries to convince him, and,
Tony Stark has, like, an old age home for
heroes
or something. That's pretty funny. It's like Tony Stark's in the title.
Yeah, and, because, he has aged at this point.
Yeah.
And like, he's walking around with the cane, and I don't think I have it, in me, he's like, I just don't, it's not that he doesn't want to, he doesn't think that, that he can. And, Sue talks to him, and, eventually at the end of the issue, when they're in a tight spot, he comes in and he's throwing the shield around and stuff like that. So they're, even with all the, with the new heroes and the, with such of the Fantastic Four, they're having a hard time fighting them. And so, Reed, or, Dr. Doom, because he's starting to lose, he sends out all of his, Doom bots to, like, capitals all over the planet with, like, if you try to fight them, they just, they're gonna explode as a default. So they're kind of stuck to do what to do, but the Mad Thinker, who helped made all these droids, he has escaped, and, he had,
they need to get,
files from his old android head or something.
They're in Reed's mind. He thinks he could get them out of Reed's mind, but instead, they have that android.
Yeah, and, that's the only thing, because in this story, Franklin has, some kind of mental ability. Like, he doesn't create, planets and stuff. He's able to, connect minds or something like that. Yeah. And we have, there's some cool scenes where, we're inside of Reed's mind and he's talking, and Johnny, who died, issues before, is in there. And he's like, what are you doing here, Johnny? He's like, I don't know, I'm your memory, you tell me what I'm doing and why I'm here, and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a very it's a very different life story from the Spider-Man one, but I think by the end, I think he pulled it off. Pretty good.
It's a weird but touching ending
with
Reed's android head saying talking.
Because he left messages.
Yeah, he left messages for Sue, and he apologizes to Franklin that he wasn't as good a father as he could have been. And thanks Ben for being a friend his whole life.
And then do they move into the Tony Stark apartment home, or do they? I wasn't sure if that was in that same place, or if it was someplace else.
They did, yeah.
But that was the that's the last thing I read of any note.
Okay. Oh, I got a bunch.
Okay, we'll start with the bad. I did read Aquaman, Green Arrow, Deep Target 3 and 4.
Nice.
Wow.
Mike's going to be upset that he missed
this.
Yeah,
Mike's not here. Pissing me off. They were not good. So at the end of issue 2, they crash land off the plane after they had jumped out of the plane and parachuted down. And they were attacked by General Dinosaur. And that's how it ends. Issue 3 begins where they've both been captured and they're in constraints facing each other. And it has General Dinosaur standing between them talking to one of them. I don't remember which because they body swapped and whatever. But the page is split with him talking to the one, and then the other half of the page is the other character looking at the back of his head with the exact same dialogue. So one is his face, and then the other is the back of his head. Face, back, and it was just like, seriously? I'm like, are you getting paid for the word? So eventually they break out. And turns out they're on the moon. So
Man, Aquaman just keeps on ending in Green Arrow keeps on ending in these places where he's just no good to shoot his bow and arrows at. Like underwater, on the moon.
So now they break out and they jump in a rocket ship and they fly it back to Earth, because that's certainly in both it's in their skill sets. But then something turns out like they're from different multiverses. And they have different power sets because of that, or because of the switching their bodies. One of them's starting to forget his mom. It really convoluted. Then, they land, and of course, then they crash land in the water, and then they go underwater. And it has Ollie Aquaman trying to use his fish powers, the telepathy, for the first time. And it had one of those moments that sounded good. But so he does it, and the fish all swim around him. They're all like piranhas or whatever. And he's like, thanks, guys. And then all of a sudden he gets bit. And he goes, oh, sorry, and gals. Ha, 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 ha. Because one of the girl fishes bites him. So then something happens, and now they're investigating, and some reason they're both in the same city investigating this building where it turns out this is the headquarters for General Dinosaur, but they don't explain it, and somebody had died who you don't understand, you don't know who this person was. It was like some street guy, and it's just really bad. There's like a big conspiracy they're going to have to stop, and that'll explain why they body swat. And it's just like, I just don't care anymore. It's just, it's not good. So.
But before you move on to your next book, that reminded me of a piece of news that I saw.
Oh.
The Justice League Dinosaur.
Yes, forgot about that. Yeah, I saw that and I went, okay, so hopefully General Dinosaur will be in there. Yes.
Yeah.
I know he has some other name, but... Oh. So then we'll follow that up with the next great book I read, which was Monkey Prince number 1.
Oh, yeah.
So does Monkey Prince become Monkey Meat?
No, different companies. Apparently
it's a crossover,
Monkey,
though.
So you have this boy... who is easily scared.
Like, it, I think at the beginning he was scared of thunder or something.
Thunder
and bodies. When he heard it, he got scared and he'd go, So anytime he gets scared, he goes, Okay. So
and
some
prints.
So some boys in school put he's scared to his parents were killed. Or no, something Batman attacked. That's right. He was at home and there was the thunder and there was some water on the floor and he stepped in it and he had a wet foot and then Batman was attacking his parents and that was the first time he EE'd. And then so he's in school and he's by the pool and he steps in some water and he flashes back to that and he again EE's. And then the kids making fun of him push him into the water and so he's in trouble and he's all wet and he's in the principal's office and then some guy comes along and he's the janitor who talks to him and the janitor's talking to him and telling him all this stuff. Well, it turns out later it's revealed that his parents are henchmen for hire, like scientist henchmen for hire. And the Penguin has a demon trapped in a Chinese demon trapped in a Chinese vase, and he wants to release it into one of his enemies to torment him. So he hires the henchman to do this. And of course it doesn't go well, and the demon escapes. So now there's a Chinese demon running around.
EE.
And then, so the janitor tells Monkey Prince that the only way he can find his true self is to walk through the water curtain, which I'm assuming was supposed to be like a waterfall, but instead he shows him it's the pool, and so Monkey Prince falls in the pool and comes out as Monkey Prince, and now he has a tail and all this stuff, but it gets better. So then he's at the school, and Batman shows up for some reason. He's fighting people. Monkey Prince is fighting people, like kids in the locker room. So Batman shows up.
I'm sorry, where is this taking place?
In Gotham High.
In Gotham City.
Gotham High, yeah. Maybe Damien's there for some reason, something like that. And they're fighting, and then Batman shows up and goes to throw a batarang at him, but miscalculates and beheads Monkey Prince. So that's how the issue ended.
That's got to hurt.
I'm like, what did I just read?
Well, I was wondering because, like, the Monkey Prince is from an old Chinese like legend for the Journey into the West. Like, so I was wondering what they were gonna do with that, but.
Yeah,
I saw like they did like a on like Instagram they did like a little mini video with like the writer and stuff talking about it and it didn't really do anything to like
it was not good. Okay, so let's see. So we talked about all.
So
of
you're
those.
Gonna read the next 11
I will
of those
not.
Too?
No,
right?
I will not, and you cannot guilt me into doing it.
Well, we are getting the rest of the Green
Arrow. I will read the next three of that. Yes, I'm committed there. Now I'll switch to one that I adored. Probably my favorite book. Excellence number one. Now, this is one that was written for me. I am a huge fan of X-Force, X-Statics. I jumped on with issue one. Had to go back a little bit because I had missed the beginning of it. And that was one of the most fun books I've read ever. Basically, I think a character died every issue. The superheroes were not there to be heroes. They were there to be stars. The Dupe was there to like video everything, to broadcast it out so that these guys were famous, and it was all about ego and all that. Fantastic Mike Allred art with even one issue done by Darwin Cook, I think, one of the Hugo girls. And so we had that, there was the X-Statics giant size, which set this one up, introducing a new team, the Excellence, but these are bad guys. It's the guy who, one of the characters that died in the first issue of X-Force, or well, it's actually issue 116, but the first issue of this version of X-Force. And he is now back, kind of.
Zeitgeist?
Yeah, Zeitgeist put back together. He has like a fake torso, but he is back, but they're all bad guys. And with super fun powers. One girl's a mirror and she shows you your true self. You have another guy who takes your fears and plays them back at you. You had Zeitgeist, and I forget.
Hurt John?
Yeah, that's the one who takes your pain and puts it back at you. And so they're bad guys, and it's a new team of Ecstatics. You still have Mr. Sensitive, but instead of Tyke Alucard, you have his son who has a fake arm. And he's just angry to be angry.
He just called the A.
And then a new character called the Wall. You had the werewolf guys back. He was from that previous team.
Vivisector.
You have Vivisector. And then you have Hugo Girl's daughter who's working on a name. Which was fun as they're working through different names. And Dupe is back. The other one has like an eyeball or something. But the other one's trying to make them look bad, and they're like recreating a scene, and it's silly. I don't want to say it's fun and happy. There's dark to it. And then Vivisector gets killed in this, well, or at least very wounded in this issue. But I'm reading it just smiling. All red art, Peter Milligan writing it, just. And it literally didn't miss a beat from before. It's just, it feels the same.
It's funny, like during the original run, there wasn't even like such a thing as like Instagram.
Right. Something. They preceded all of that. Yeah.
And then, you know, they worked that into this issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
With them worrying about, you know, the number of followers and stuff.
Yeah. But, that was enjoyable. I read that last Wednesday. Really, I'm like, good. I don't even want to wait.
It was really good.
Yeah, I enjoy that. So, Chicken Devil number 4, the last issue.
Wah!
So, the issue 3 ends up, the whole story is that businessman, his partner, goes in with the Russian mob for cocaine. He thinks his family's been blown up on this boat that was blown up to kill them. And at the end of last issue, after he wiped out the Russians, he shows up home and his family's there. So this issue is now starting that. He's doing all he can not to tell them what's going on, and he's really jumpy, and what's wrong with you, and why don't you guys go out of town or take a trip? And because he has the one guy's phone, so he's texting with the Russian guy, which is fun because he's correcting his grammar and stuff in texts. The Russians are coming for him. And there's a little bit more about it, talking with his mom, trying to explain. But it was funny because they were having to talk in code because everything was recorded. So instead of Russians, it was Russian dressing. And I don't know how to get rid of all this Russian dressing. And he's like, I'm going to take them all out. And he was ready to kill everybody. And then the fun part is at the end, the two cops that have been investigating him show up dressed in chicken outfits and wiped out the Russians. And they're like, we like what you're doing, but you suck at it.
Because he goes, he finds their, like, safe house or whatever, and he goes and he tries to rush in and shoot them, but he goes through the glass
door. Yeah, he thinks it's an open door, and he crashes.
But he crashes through the glass and falls on the ground and is about to get shot, and, like, that's when the other two detectives show up in their own chicken outfits.
Yep. Yeah. It was good. So there's more of this coming, which makes me very happy. Another bad book. Savage Spider-Man.
I didn't
read Nonstop Spider-Man, so I honestly have no idea what is going on in this book. Spider-Man is monster Spider-Man.
Yeah, he got injected with something.
And like, he has no coherent thoughts. And it's him basically going, the entire issue. It was not good.
Yeah, after the debacle of Nonstop, and saw that it was going to go to this Savage, I was like, maybe when it comes out in trade. But
yeah, it was not good. We had the X-Lives of Wolverine 2, and I still have no idea what is going on. It starts off with some... Was this one that had Moira, or was that...
I don't know, I'm not
that was. Oh, that was the last one. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Weapon, it's... Oh, no. This one is still going... Where he's going through time, and he's laying with his wife, and then she turns into an Omega Red, and he's got to fight her, Mariko.
Hey, when that happens.
And then, all of a sudden, now he's back in time with Sabretooth and Maverick, and they're about to wipe out a village, and he stops them. And it's just... I just have no... There's no... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in this book, and it's frustrating. Sabretooth number one. Now, I thought that was interesting. Where, again, a little bit of, huh? But Sabretooth has basically been put... he's been banished into the bowels of Krakoa forever. And then there's some text, which is kind of interesting. Like, well, where are you? Are you in Krakoa's belly? Are you in his butt? Where garbage goes? Are you in his brain? You know, where exactly are you? Because Krakoa is a living thing. But basically, he turns wherever he is into a version of hell, and he's now the king of hell. And some other people come down, and he's like, "I'm gonna, you know, turn you into my minions." So it was interesting.
It's Toad in it.
I don't remember who the people that came down were. I remember what you're saying. I don't think so. It seemed to be some other random people. Okay. Peacemaker, Disturbing the Peace, a little one-shot, different than the show, same basic character, but it's interesting. He's being interviewed by, like, this scientist, like a psychologist for the government, and basically ends up telling his whole story where he got home from school late one day and his parents had killed themselves, his dad hung himself, his mom put her head in the oven. The twins were in the washing machine, and the baby was in the microwave. And it's like, oh, okay. And he came home and found it, and he said, you know, probably asking the police to help me with my math was a tactical mistake. But then he's with a foster family who the dad works at a bank that's held up by these two, like, Bonnie and Clyde hick rednecks, and he's asleep in the back of the car. They take off. Eventually he turns them in and they get killed and he kind of helps. Doesn't help, but like the guy's trying to get out of the car and he just pushes it closed and he burns alive in there. And then he does kill the girl. She had been wounded and she couldn't feel her legs and he put his hand over her nose and mouth. Then he joins the military and goes through many different... Like, always moving up. Like, first he's a SEAL, and then he's, whatever. I don't remember. But then it's talking about how... She's talking about how all these mystery people kind of die. This one group of soldiers somehow died from friendly fire. Another one of his leaders did, and then he did this mission, which was kind of funny, where he did it. He went in ahead and then called them and told them to come, but he had looked, and he asked the one guy before he killed him why he saw where all the landmines were and stuff. He's like, why is nothing there? And they said they let Bob handle that. So he calls them in and says it's clear to go, but Bob is a great white shark, and he eats them. And then she's like, you know, all these people die. He's like, well, the one guy was trafficking kids. One group was working for a cartel. Just all these are bad people that are dying, and it's basically, yeah, you know, it's like in the TV show, he's gonna achieve peace no matter how many people he has to kill to get there. It's kind of the same thing. So it was fun. Art was a little interesting, Gary Brown art, but Garth Ennis wrote it. It was good. I enjoyed it. I didn't know what to expect, but it was good. Let's see, what else did I read? I read Joy Operations 2 and 3 for you, Dave.
I'm sorry.
It's getting better. Still a lot of F-bombs, but basically at the end of issue 1, I think she kind of calls in and says she's been compromised and that she needs to get called in. Well, that was a trigger to her boss that something's wrong with her, so now she's trying to have her killed. to take her out because she's been compromised. Mm-hmm. That's basically the essence of 2 and 3. Okay. And to get safe, they're going to go to where the girl who's in her head's area and go there. That's how that ended.
How many issues in this?
I think it's only 5, and this was 3. I read. Did we talk about Knighted 2 and 3? Probably talked about 2. That was the AWA book.
Yeah.
Okay, I just read those today. That's really good. I'm enjoying that. Where the guy accidentally killed Batman, and now he's having to take over and be Batman. That one's quite good. And then I read the last ones. I read My Date with Monsters 2 and 3. I don't know if anybody's reading that, but it's where. If you fall asleep, nightmares can come through, and this this lady, her husband developed this, and their daughter is like a target, and she has to find the man of her dreams, which will stop all this from happening. So she's trying to find she's having horrible luck dating. This thing is attacking her daughter, the big monster is helping, but just a fun story. This is Aftershock. I thought it's been real good. And like Tim said, I haven't read this story in any shape, way, shape, or form before. It's all new, so that's what makes this fun. Just it's a different story. And it's fun. It has some language, but other than that, it's been quite good. So that's what I read. But I read 20 books. I went crazy.
Well, crazy.
I figured out my Mondays, so that's helped. And I'm kind of secluding myself now on Monday, so that helped. Then I read a lot last night, and I read some today, too. So,
well, then what's coming out next week,
Next week's a little thin. We did get an email from Lunar saying a bunch of books didn't make it to them in time, so they're not shipping this week. Like, books that were supposed to come out next week are going to be slipping to the week after, so... Next week's a little thin with DC, but the following week is going to be much bigger, I'm hoping, because this is a thin week. But like we have Aquaman the Becoming next week, and I ordered a total of 5 copies. And Black Manta came out this week, and I think I ordered a total of 5 copies, so I'm not super excited about Aquaman spinning out of these 2 books. I'm like, okay. Yay, so I order, 5 copies? Hang on one sec. Okay, sorry.
Even you're confused by what...
No, I'm not. No, I'm watching the hockey game, and Duncan Keith, something happened to him. So we have Batman the Knight number 2, and Detective are coming, which is good. Justice League 72, leading up to the death. We really didn't talk about Dark Crisis, but look it up online. I don't really know how to summarize it. So, but that's about it. I mean, there's some stuff. A lot of reorders coming next week.
Well, the Free Comic Book Day book is like a...
Right, but they just announced it today, so we don't really know anything about it. From Marvel's a little thin, too. We got Spider-Man, shocking.
What?
Fantastic Four 40, which is the next part of Reckoning War. The new Iron Fist number 1, where Danny's lost his powers, and we get a new Iron Fist. Marvel Voices Legacy, they're doing another one of those. X-Lives of Wolverine 3, maybe it'll make sense, who knows. And then X-Men number 8. And then from everybody else. But yeah, overall, it's a thin week. We have Animal Castle number 3. I'm looking forward to this. That's been really good. We have the rest of the Geiger 80-page giants are coming in. This is a fun one. G.I. Joe Real American Hero Saturday Morning Adventure. With the feel of a Saturday morning cartoon. Little four-parter. We have Lion and Eagle. This is from Aftershock. It's Garth Ennis doing one of his war books. Maniac in New York, Bronx Burning, number 3. I know you guys like that. Primordial, number 6. So finishing that one up.
Yeah.
I just like the title of this one, These Damn Kids. Feel that way.
Which you say a lot, yeah.
I do. Then my favorite book of the month, this is February 16th. This is coming. Is Vampire's Halloween One-Shot. I think that's a fantastic time to get a Halloween book. Everybody loves Halloween in February. So that's what we got going on, coming out next week. Going out of the store, we have Book Club coming up on the 25th.
which is going to be Saga Volume 1. So that should be fun. And then we're doing Image Comics Month because it's their 30th anniversary. So double points on all Image books this week, or this month. And Rex just woke up and has a very silly face. The website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. And let's see. Spencer, send us home.
That's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.